Bro, in life, there's so many things you can cheat on. Like, you can cheat on your diet, you can cheat on your girlfriend, you can cheat on your barber, you can cheat on your girlfriend with your barber. Shit, you can even cheat on your taxes. So compared to everything else, cheating on a little math test is not that bad. Like, compared to your taxes, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh shit.
Hey, we've all cheated on our barber, but you cannot cheat on this math test.
Oh shit. Damn, bro. I know we've all cheated on our girl, but you cheated on me, dog.
Oh shit.
Babe, I know we cheated on our taxes, but you cheated on me?
Oh shit.
Listen, in our entire lifespan, we've all cheated on something. Whether it's a game of Uno, your girlfriend, or your other girlfriend, it's usually not worth it, because congratulations, bro, you won the game of Uno, but now you have to look yourself in the mirror knowing you're a cheater and a liar that has three Uno cards up his ass. But when it comes to school tests, cheating is 100% worth it, bro. And I'm not condoning cheating at all, but let's just think about this logically. Like, why are we at school in the first place? We're at school to learn things and skills that we can use in real life. Now, are we really using trigonometry in real life? Well, effectively, this depends on what career.
Hell nah, bro. It was a rhetorical question. We are not using trigonometry.
But you know what we will use? Creative thinking, communication, social awareness, logic and reasoning, and most definitely our fucking phones. All five of which are strongly developed through the act of cheating on a school test. And on top of becoming a better human, better grades, it's the ultimate win-win. Your teacher feels like they did a good job teaching, your parents think they didn't raise a dumbass, and if you're good enough at cheating, you might just fuck around and get into Harvard. But once again, I am not condoning cheating, you know, just throwing that out there, you know, But yeah, as I was saying, you shouldn't cheat, right? Like, it's bad. Cheating is not good, but you do know what they say. If you're not cheating, you're not trying.
Facts!
Yeah. Wait, no. What?
What?
So if cheating in school is so valid, why doesn't everyone do it? And that's because if you get caught, let me tell you, bro. This story takes place in grade 9 when me, Bob, and Billy were some straight freshmen, bro. And coming into high school, you get your shit absolutely clapped by double the workload. But lucky for me, Bob and Billy were both in my math class, which meant we had triple the studying power. But we also had triple the fucking around power, and we used that shit to its maximum capacity, bro. But you know what they say, the more you fuck around, the more you find out. And when we got our first test back, shit, we found out. We found out we're a bunch of dumbasses who are about to fail grade 9 math, and we couldn't let that shit happen. So for the next test, we studied extremely hard. Off George's math test during the test. I mean, we were cheating with maximum efficiency. Like, we had a whole assembly line where Bob would look at George's test, throw up the number, and Billy would pass it along. And all of a sudden, our grades are making the meanest comeback Mr. Mathinson had ever seen. I mean, life was great. We went to school, cheated, played some Fortnite, succeeded, browsing history, deleted, and then repeated. I mean, we were just living life with no worries until
the polynomials test.
I walked into this test thinking, psh, I know what a polygon is, I should be chilling. And when the teacher handed out the test, I was bewildered to see all these fucking letters on my test. Look, like, is this math class or English, bruh?
Yeah, I think I got the wrong sheet.
Huh? No, that's the right test.
Well, what's the deal with this?
I mean, that's just polynomials.
Dog, I can name every single polygon, but who the fuck wrote Elon Musk's son name on my goddamn math question?
Yeah, chains. That's what we call a variable. It's called a variable.
Yeah, I know. I know that, and I knew it before you said it too. Cause we learned about it in class.
Yeah, right. Right.
Now, this would have been extremely bad if we didn't have the ultimate method we like to call George. Because George was one of those dudes who loved studying. Like, he'd wake up and go to school, then come home and study till he dropped, bro. Like, if you kidnapped George's whole family and told him you'd only give them back if he answered this equation, this motherfucker would just be happy he got more homework, bro. And because of this, we had a little deal going with George. If he let us
just cheat off his math test, we would teach him how to be a normal dude. We were teaching this kid how to dap someone up, how to use slang, and all I'ma say is, this motherfucker should have just stuck to math, bro. Yo, Chains, sauce me a bite, big dog.
I got you.
Shit, Chains, you just busted in my throat, gang.
Hey, yo.
George, what you just said right there sounded gay as hell. Type shit. So as I was saying, I'm looking at this math test with more letters than numbers, and it would have been raps for me if it wasn't for the George method. So I'm looking at Billy, Billy's looking at Bob, and Bob's looking at George's test, and we're absolutely flying through this polynomials test. And about halfway through, I look up to get the next answer, and I get jump scared by Mr. Matheson mean mugging my shit. And you can see it in his eyes. He knew exactly what was going down, and he took me, Billy, and Bob's tests and took us to the hallway.
What do you guys think you're doing?
I'm pretty sure it's like Paul.
Why did I see you three throwing up your fingers during our test?
Well, you see, Mr. Matheson, we're gang affiliated.
No, bro, what? What the fuck?
All right, you three, cut the shit. I caught you cheating. All three of you are getting zeros on this test, and I don't want to see it happen again, or I'm contacting your parents.
All right, it won't happen again. You're right. We're not in a gang, by the way.
Yeah, I know, buddy.
Well, shit.
Yo, what happened to you jits? Are you chilling?
Bro, Mr. Matheson caught us lacking real bad. Yeah, he gave us all zeros on the test.
Holy shit, it sounds like Mr. Matheson just absolutely railed you guys. No cap
now. And all three of us proceeded to absolutely shit the bed on all of our next tests. And it was at the point where our grades were on life support and our math final was coming up. So if we didn't get our shit together for this final, our parents were about to put us on life support with that leather belt. So we put our cheating ways in the past and locked in, bro. We were focused in class, and after, we went to Bob's crib and kept studying there. And then it clicked. We all finally understood polynomials. And so the next day, we walked into class confidently, knowing we were equipped with hours of studying. We lock in, sit down, and then the teacher gives us our test. And as soon as we lay our eyes on that very first question of the test, we were fucked. Now, don't get me wrong, we could do polynomials all day long, but we forgot this was a final. Meaning, we forgot to study numeracy, exponent laws, rational numbers, linear relations, inequalities, geometry, probability, and statistics, and in other words, we didn't know shit. And before I can even make eye contact with the boys to tell them I'm fucked, these motherfuckers are already hopping back on the George method. And listen, bro, as you can tell, I'm no mathematician, and I did not study probability or statistics, but from what I'm seeing at this very moment, I have two options. I can do the test legitimately and have a 99% chance of failing grade 9 math and getting my shit whooped while simultaneously having my entire family realize they raised a dumbass who won't go anywhere in life and is destined to draw Stickman for all of eternity, or I could cheat. So we're out here hitting the George method, and I'm being extra careful, cause if we get caught lacking twice, it's complete and utter raps for us, bro. So we're grinding out the method, then the teacher looks up, boom, we're locked in on our own tests. He puts his head down, back to the method. And there was a few times in there I thought we were cooked, but we just kept it pushing. But still, we were low-key running out of time, and I had a whole page to complete. And God bless this random-ass dude's soul, because he raises his hand to ask a question, and as soon as the teacher turns his back on us, it's crunch time, bro. It's like double XP right now. Bob was out here throwing up these numbers so goddamn fast, I thought he turned crip for a second. And then the bell went off, and we were all done, bro. We hand in our test, and then it was time to wait. A few classes go by, and then the teacher hands out our math finals alongside our report cards. And nervous as hell, we all check our report cards, and we all passed, bro. So we all go home happy as hell to show our parents our report cards and the fact that we passed. Chains, you got a 54 in math?
Yup, Mom, I sure did. You raised one hell of a smarty pants.
Oh, fuck. But at the end of the day, even if we all got our shit whooped, maybe the real treasure is the friends we made along the way.
Yo, homies, I'm bricked up right now.
Oh, no.
If you saw this video, you would know my mom has caught me lacking baked beyond belief before. And after that experience, I really changed my ways. I mean, I was grounded for over a year. So in that time, I decided to get my life together. I started working out, eating healthy, getting straight A's in school. Okay, that's cap, but straight B's in school. Okay, B's and C's, but that's besides the point. The point is, I got my ass beat for coming home zooted, and I never smoked again. Until I did. So, this incident takes place with the man, the myth, the legend, Bob. So me, Billy, and Bob are chilling at Bob's crib when Bob says the holy words. Are you guys trying to smoke? Yeah, bet. And keep in mind, the rest of my homies had been smoking regularly. But your boy was fresh out of the slammer. I mean, I was pretty much on probation at this point. And on top of that, I hadn't smoked for over a year, so my tolerance had gone to shit. So with all that being said, the smart decision was to simply not smoke. But shit, if you know me, I am not one for smart decisions. In fact, I was one for stupid decisions. So I was out here hitting this hoe like Chris Breezy. I was puffing this joint like Wiz Khalifa. When honestly, I should have been patient and just taking my time because who knows what my tolerance was at this point. So when it starts hitting me, it hits hard. But the homies were closely monitoring me because they knew if I got caught high again, well on probation, I would be serving 20 to life. So they're out here checking my eyes, checking my heart rate, checking my pulse, and the diagnostic was, I think you're chilling, bro. But progressively, I was getting higher and higher. So as we're there watching the most goated cartoon, The Amazing World of Gumball, I start floating. And I don't know if anyone else has experienced this before, but sometimes when you get mad high, you just forget that you even exist. And you use 107% of your brain power to just think. So I was out here floating away, thinking about some random bullshit. Yo, it's crazy that everyone in the world is either named Quandale or they're not. Wait, what if I'm in a simulation? No. What if I'm in an animation being drawn by some dude on his computer for a platform of entertainment and a bunch of people know what I'm thinking right now? Hold up. Is a tomato a vegetable or a fruit? But I'm brought back to Earth by a text message. Oh man. Mom. Please come home for dinner at 6. Damn, I gotta be home for dinner at 6. Oh shit, what time is it? It's 5:30. Nah, we can't let your mom find out you're cooked. So Bob whips out his emergency hide how baked you are kit. Boom, hits me with the eye drops to make my eyes less red. Douses me in cologne to cover up the smell. And apparently eating oranges also helps slow down your high. So I leave Bob's crib and as I'm walking home, I'm brainstorming all the possible scenarios. Either I play this off like a smooth criminal and nobody ever finds out, or I could get caught and I could get sentenced to 30 years. So as I walk up to my front door, my entire future is dependent on how I play this shit off. I take a deep breath and I ring the doorbell. And my brother opens the door. The door was unlocked. Dumbass. Fuck, I'm off to a bad start. So I walk into the kitchen, casual as hell. Oh, Chains, how was your day? Oh, it was good. How was yours? Yeah, good shit, we're doing good. Oh, it was good, thanks for asking. Wow, Mom, this mac and cheese looks succulent. Fuck, why did I say that? Who the fuck says succulent? Oh, why, thank you. I switched the recipe up a little bit. Just be casual, be casual. The mac and cheese, it's good. Thank you. What were you guys doing at Bob's? Fuck, what do I say? Twister. Oh, a twister? Yep, twister. What, wasn't it just you, Bob, and Billy? Yep, just a good old game of Twister with the boys. Damn, y'all are gay as hell. Yep. not to being gay as hell. I just meant yup in general. Like, you know, like, yup. Chains, are you feeling okay? Oh, fuck. She knows. What do I do?
A little word of advice. Whenever you're in one of these situations, just cap and say you're tired. Like, it works for everything.
Are you high?
No, I'm just tired.
Damn, bro. Are you depressed?
No, I'm just tired.
Help! Help! I'm drowning!
No, I'm just tired.
So while I was backed into a corner, I was pretty much on trial facing life. I just used the good old...
No, I'm just really tired. I couldn't get much sleep last night. I think I could even take a nap right now. But thank you very much for dinner.
And call me Michael Jackson,
cause your boy was a certified smooth criminal. And I moonwalked my high ass all the way into a nap. And goddamn, that nap hit.
Being absolutely faded in math class is one thing, but pulling up to school while you're hammered, wasted, absolutely plastered is simply a different ball game. Cause there's lots of people who can properly utilize that Mary Jane on a daily basis. For example, tattoo artists. In fact, I feel like majority of tattoo artists would say, it helps me work better, dude. And I would happily trust this man to do his best work knowing he's baked as shit. However, if this dude was wasted, it's a little bit of a different story. Alrighty, dude. All done. Yo, I asked for a rose, bro. And because of this reason, you would truly have to be a dumbass to go to school drunk. Chains, but the title of the video says going to school drunk. I did, bro. I went to school drunk. But listen, it was no ordinary day at school. No. In fact, I didn't even go in the day at all. I went drunk to the school dance. Meaning this story takes place when the boys and I were in grade 11. It was a Thursday night, the night of winter ball. And as the boys and I were getting ready, you know, looking like some distinguished young gentlemen, I had realized, damn, none of us have any girls to take to the dance. Fuck, you're right. That means we're gonna have to ask a girl to dance, bro. What? You mean like talk to them? Yeah, if only we knew someone with a bigger roster than a cheerleading team. Someone with more hoes than a shed. Someone who pulls more tens than EDP.
It's Bob!
So me and Billy started analyzing Bob. Like, how does he pull so many girls, bro? Is it the jawline? I don't know. What about the silky, smooth, clear skin? Maybe. Or is it those succulent, luscious, kissable lips?
It's the glasses!
Yeah! the glasses, yeah. So we stole Bob's entire flow in the hopes this would put an end to my drought of bitches. So we check ourselves out in the mirror and then we hop into Billy's whip. We throw on some Rihanna to get us hyped, and before we knew it, we had arrived at school. Now to really paint the picture, it was a Thursday at 8 p.m. and on this Thursday at 8 p.m. Billy pops his trunk to pull out two bottles of vodka. Now if you were unaware, it was currently a Thursday at 8 p.m. on a school night, and we were headed into our school. Now logically, I should have simply denied the alcohol, but I'ma keep it a buck. The whole idea of walking up to a girl and asking her to dance was really giving me the heebie-jeebies. I mean, my palms were sweaty, my knees were weak, and arms were heavy, so I took a big old chug of that liquid courage in order to ease the nerves a little bit. And shit, Billy must have been feeling the same way, because Billy was down in that shit like it was water. And right after we consumed enough alcohol to kill a baby elephant, I got a notification on my phone. Oh shit, I got an email. Oh, it's from the school. It says, if you come to the winter ball under the influence of alcohol or any drug, you will face suspension and will lose your right to walk across the stage for graduation.
Fuck.
Okay, listen, if we can get into the dance before this shit hits, we're chilling.
Alright, we got this.
So we walk into the school looking fresh as hell, but then I notice a fat line of students, and this line led to a security check
to get into the dance.
Fuck, that's not good.
Nah, we're chilling. I still don't even feel anything. What about you?
Yeah, same. We're good.
And just as we came to the consensus that we were good, the principal starts walking down the line in our direction.
Fuck, act cool. We're good. Act cool.
That was close.
You three, over here.
Shit, fuck, shit.
Do you guys know why I called you over here?
Nah.
Nope.
I smelled alcohol the moment I walked past you three.
Now, I don't know if it was one of you, or all of you, but you know the consequences of showing up under the influence, right?
Yeah, we do.
And tell me, is it or is it not suspicious that all three of you guys showed up with glasses on?
Nah, we just thought it looked suspicious.
Take them off.
Damn. All right. Yes, sir.
And although I downed a sizable amount of vodka, it still hadn't kicked in yet.
Now, I didn't want to do this to you guys, but look at my finger.
This motherfucker starts waving around his magic finger in Billy's face with a flashlight to somehow see if he's drunk.
Now, I don't know what the plan was, but I was fucking scared.
Okay. He's not bad. Oh, okay, he's good. Now let's see here.
And just as this motherfucker puts his finger in my face, that vodka hits, bro. I'm using all the strength I got to keep my balance while I'm getting blinded by this flashlight.
Let me try that again. Huh. I got a little feeling you guys drank, but it hasn't fully kicked in yet. I'll check up on you in a little
bit. That's good. Yeah. So we get to security and they make sure to pat us down. A little bit too good, but before we knew it, we were at the dance. And just like that, I saw my opportunity and I put that liquid courage to use. And you know, I'm very articulate when it comes to words, so I ask,
Hi, how are you?
Oh, hey, I'm good. So I wanted to ask you, like, you know, we're at the dance, and I saw you, so I walked over here. Here we are, you know what I mean? So, like, do you want to dance?
Yeah, sure.
It had worked. My plan had finally worked. And just as I was about to feel the female touch I'd been deprived of for all these years, I see Mr. Principal walking in my direction with his finger ready and his flashlight in hand, so I just haul ass, and I don't stop hauling ass until I'm off school grounds. So, the moral of the story is, don't go to school drunk, bro.
Middle school is just an awkward place, bro. Like, middle school dances, awkward. Middle school speeches, awkward. And middle school relationships, in my experience, is the most awkward thing on the face of this planet. I mean, the girl's a whole foot taller, got a deeper voice, and shit, she could probably bench more than you, little bro. Like, I hate to break it to you, but you don't got a girlfriend. You are the girlfriend, bruh. Middle school just occurs at the craziest time in a teenager's life, cause motherfuckers is just getting slapped by puberty out of nowhere. You'll be walking down the halls and see a bunch of kids who look fresh out of daycare. Then all of a sudden you'll see a grown ass man built like Shaquille O'Neal thumping his way down to math class. And attendance in middle school was looking like,
Matthew? Here.
George?
Present.
Daisy?
Here.
Owen?
Here.
Dude's balls would be dropping halfway through presenting their speech, like,
and this is specifically why
dinosaurs went extinct.
And in middle school, nobody had drip. Like, dudes would be showing up to school in a neon green t-shirt paired with some bright red shoes looking like a fucking traffic light. Well, their haircuts looking like their barber cut their shit with one hand, well blindfolded. But to be fair, everyone had a shitty haircut in middle school, bro. And if you think your cut wasn't that bad in middle school, chances are your shit's probably still ass to this day. And just to make things worse, the cherry on top is that everybody's got acne. There's just all these hormones flying around and these kids have no clue what to do with them. Which is exactly why middle school beef is unmatched, bro. Motherfuckers will be throwing hands for no reason at all. And I don't know how, but somehow even the fights were awkward. It would be like, hey pal, I heard you sat beside my crush in class today. So what? You wanna fight about it?
I mean, like, if you wanted to.
That, like, I'm not scared. Like, yeah, we can fight.
Okay, let's freaking go, pussy.
Fuck, I wasn't ready.
Sorry, was that too soon?
No shit, Sherlock.
Okay, you can hit me back so we're even.
But if two dudes were throwing hands and their crush is watching, they're about to fight to the death.
But the thing is about middle school fights, I didn't know this was possible, but somehow both motherfuckers end up losing the fight.
I remember one lunch at my middle school, a dude whipped out some boxing gloves for no reason at all, and all of a sudden we're running a whole fight club. Kids would be betting their lunch money on who's gonna win and shit, but we never laid down any ground rules. So one day, JJ hit Timmy with a spinning back fist and put his ass to sleep. And I'm hyped, cause I just doubled my lunch money. But Mr. Principal didn't seem too hyped to see one of his students knocked out on the ground. So of course JJ gets in trouble because he's just that one kid who's always in trouble but never got expelled. Like, I could have swore dude was on his third strike 5 strikes ago. But man, middle school had some characters, bro. There was that one guy that would walk through the halls, blast the music on his speaker. The kid who used to sit in his chair like this. The dude who hit puberty and midlife at the same time.
Mr. Donaldson, can I get some help on the subtraction?
Help on the subtraction? You look more like you need help on your taxes.
No, subtraction's just hard for me.
During recess, do you go check on the wife and kids?
No, I just play on the monkey bars.
Tell me, how do you manage to be in middle school and work a 9-to-5 job at the same time?
The girl who thinks she's a horse, the emo kid, catch him in the back of the class with his hoodie tied up watching sad Bart Simpson edits, the kid who had to touch the top of the door frame before entering a room, girls who have to bring their Starbucks cup everywhere, the dude who's constantly emoting,
and in order to find the answer, we can make a grid.
Did someone say gritty?
Right foot creep, ooh, walking with the heat.
Of course, there's the kid who Naruto runs through the hallway, and then there's that weird ass kid who accidentally called his social studies teacher mom one time.
It was probably an accident though.
Fuck!
And I have no idea why, but there's something about teaching middle school that had all these teachers going through a midlife crisis. I remember one day our science teacher was teaching us about rainbows.
Does anyone know what a rainbow is?
Yes, Jaden.
Refraction of light through water droplets.
Oh wow, that's right. How did you know that?
Reddit.
Oh, okay. Where did you read it?
Reddit.
Yeah, but where did you read it?
Reddit.
Jaden, I can't do this right now. Just tell me where you found this information.
Reddit?
God damn it, Jackson. You're the reason my children get their shit whooped every night.
Now, I don't know what she had going on in her life, but the way she broke down talking about beating her children to a group of 12-year-olds really gave me the impression that she shouldn't be teaching middle schoolers, bro. And I don't know who was in charge of hiring these teachers, but I also had a deaf teacher. Which, you know, is cool and all, but it did make it a little bit harder considering the fact that, you know, she was the fucking music teacher, not to mention the fact that she was also half blind. And I think the idea there was that she could somehow feel the vibrations of the guitar or something, which didn't seem to work too well considering the fact that I got a fucking A in music and I can't play the guitar for shit. But I smelled good or something, I don't know. And I don't know about y'all's experiences, but I feel like kids were just mad touchy in middle school. Like, you'd be sitting in math class, minding your own business, and for no reason at all, a motherfucker would tase you in the side of the ribs. And I remember when kids first learned about these pressure points, it was all fun and games. Someone would just poke you in the ribs, like, pressure point, that tickles. Then there would be a new pressure point dropping every week. It got to the point where these 12-year-olds were hitting pressure point combinations and paralyzing your legs and shit. Hey, bro, let me try this new pressure point on you.
Yeah, sure, go for it.
Ah, it tickles.
And it was the same shit with this game. Like, you really couldn't trust anybody, bro.
Yo, what's that on my legs?
Shit.
Got him.
Oh, shit, there's a bug on you.
God damn it.
Dumbass.
Oh, fuck, I just broke my leg.
Bro, I'm not stupid. You didn't just break your leg.
No, I'm serious, bro. I promise, on everything, on my entire life, I just broke my leg. Look.
Bro,
I remember I got punched so many times, my arm was on life support, it was about to fall off, like,
And thinking back to middle school, there's just so many things that make me cringe, bro, but by far the cringiest of them all is the relationships, man. And believe it or not, I had my fair share of middle school relationships.
I remember one day I was sitting in class and this girl came up to me and said,
Chains, I have a crush on you.
And that's really all it took to have a young Chains in love. Head over heels. We went to the movies together. We went to my house and watched movies. We went to her house and we also watched movies. Now that I think about it,
all we really did was watch movies.
We didn't really talk that much. I mean, I didn't really have a way with my words at the age of 12.
So, do you like movies?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like movies too. That's why we're here, at the movie theater. I also like popcorn, with the butter. It tastes, I like how it tastes.
And one day we went to the mall and I took a good look at my girlfriend of 2 weeks and thought, man, I don't even know this girl. Like, who are you? I remember we were inside Zoomies at the time and I said,
hey, Jessica, you're a great person and all, but I don't really think we're compatible like that. Maybe we should just break up.
Which was probably the most words I've strung together during the entirety of our relationship. And she says with the straightest face,
oh, okay.
And then we proceeded to walk out of the mall and bus home together without saying a word. And I remember lying in my bed that night and thinking to myself,
damn, I think I'm supposed to be sad right now.
So I threw on my hoodie, tied it up, and watched some sad Bart Simpson edits.
Alright class, today we're going outside for a run.
But it's literally 0 degrees.
Oh, Chains, don't be a bitch. It's not even that cold.
See? I told you guys it's not even that cold.
Yeah, for you. Cause you're out here dressed like the Michelin Man. High school PE is something different. And every PE class has 5 different types of people. Like the group of kids who just stand in the corner and occasionally get sniped in the head with a dodgeball. Or the kids who participate and make sure everyone is included. Or the legend who's chilling on Instagram. he follows at Chains for real. There's also the dude who just never shows up. And of course, we got the sweats. These motherfuckers treat PE like they're in the military. These motherfuckers treat PE like they're training for the Olympics. These motherfuckers treat PE like they're gonna get scouted to the league. Which is honestly just funny as hell because, let's be honest, 85.7% of the class doesn't even want to be there. So you'll have some innocent souls zoning out during a basketball game, and all of a sudden they'll be getting posterized like they're playing against Ja Morant.
Yeah, bitch!
I mean, these kids will come out of PE drenched in sweat, breathing heavy, and with a smile on their face, knowing they dropped 104 points on some kids who have never touched a basketball in their life. And listen, don't hate me, but I do understand the appeal of sweating your balls off in PE. Because I too once participated in the sweaty activities.
Oh,
ow. Ow. I know, but there's something so exhilarating about hearing the snapping of an unsuspecting freshman's ankles. But as I matured, I realized there was only one thing better than shitting on random students. And that was shitting on sweats. I became the anti-sweat. I would act like an innocent soul waiting to get posterized, but when the sweat would come in trying to end my career with a windmill dunk, I stuffed that boy like a Thanksgiving turkey.
Pause.
And don't get me started on
the fitness grand pacer.
Whoever created this legal form of torture will catch these hands. Oh, Chains, no, I heard he sadly passed away a little while ago. You could be having a good day and you'd pull up to PE like, hey bro, you know what we're doing today? I'm not sure, but I think we're playing soccer.
The fitness group.
No, it can't be.
Alright class, today we will be doing the beep test.
Fuck.
Woo.
Damn, what was I at?
Chains, we haven't even started. That was just our warm-up.
But one thing that did bring me a little bit of joy was looking at everyone during the push-up section. Like, there was always some dude doing the neck push-ups, some dude who thinks he's Mike Tyson, the guy who takes breaks when the teacher isn't watching, and there was always at least one dude who was out here looking like he was hitting it raw. James, I don't think that's how you do it. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, bitch!
Getting baked is usually an exceptional experience that consists of eating food, laughing, questioning your entire existence, eating food, watching Netflix while eating more food. And you know, that's great and all, but every once in a while, that Zaza can take you to the deepest, darkest depths of the Shadow Realm. And trust me, that shit is not fun. So I wake up on a sunny Saturday afternoon at 1 p.m. You know, a respectable sleep-in. I hop in the shower. It was a good shower. I check the Clash of Clans base. I didn't even get raided. I eat some scrambled eggs and toast. Shit was scrumptious. And all of these things led me to believe, damn, today's gonna be a good ass day. But little did I know, today would be the day I would look death in the eyes and fight for my life. So I finish my scrambled eggs and I pull up the boys' group chat and I'm like, what's the move? And Bob's like, I don't know, let me check. So I'm like, okay, bet. There's no moves, bro. And because there was nothing to do, the boys and I would have no choice but to reside to the default move. Let's just smoke. Bet. Calm down. So the default move always takes place at the boys' home base. Bob's crib. Now Bob's crib was the spot to be baked for many valid reasons. First of all, bro's basement was simply comfy as fuck. Couches on lock, blankets always ready with infinite pillows. And Bob's dog Walter was the fucking goat. But most importantly, Bob's cupboard was always stacked. I mean, this cupboard has enough food to feed a village. This cupboard has more snacks than 7-Eleven. And this cupboard had enough calories to be in a Nikocado avocado video. And that shit was perfect. Because goddamn, when I get baked, I become a certified badass. So you know the drill. We roll up and got a joint in rotation. And honestly, I don't know what got into me this night because I was absolutely reefing that hoe. Yo, chill. God damn. Fuck it. Let's roll another one. So we rolled up another J and I just simply could not be stopped. And I specifically remember asking, how high can I really get? And after about 30 minutes of me going bananas on these joints, I found the answer to my question. Pretty fucking high. I mean, I was beyond zooted. Like, at that point, time was literally in slow motion. And it was one of those highs when your senses become extra sensitive. So I was just posted up in a blankie while munching on some pizza pops. And I was truly invested in those pizza pops. I mean, in that moment, I thought I was the pizza pop, bro. But once I finished the pizza pops, we all decided it would be a good idea to go for a walk. However, the moment I stood up, I started feeling peculiar. But regardless, we went outside and at this point, it was already dark. Because in the time we were smoking at Bob's crib, the sunny Saturday turned into a very cloudy, dark, and cold Saturday night. So Billy and Bob are walking towards this creepy looking forest and I'm like, alright, I think I'm too high to go into this forest, bro. Nah, don't worry. I've been in this forest a million times. I know it like the back of my hand. Alright then. And as soon as we step into the forest, I start hearing shit, bro. Yo, did you hear that?
Hear what?
It sounds like someone's in the bushes.
Nah, you're just baked as shit.
So we continue walking for about 5 minutes and out of nowhere it starts pouring. And this was really the point where everything shifted because I was far too faded to be out in a dark, cold, rainy forest. So I'm like, alright, let's just go back to Bob's. Yeah, facts. I didn't know it was gonna be raining. But as we're walking back through the forest, I can undoubtedly hear something in the bushes. Okay, what the fuck was that?
Oh shit, run!
Aw, hell nah! Bob and Billy start hauling ass, and scared as hell, I slowly turn around to see a fucking demon coyote pack looking at me like I'm lunch, bro. And this had to be because of the second joint, but for a moment, I looked this coyote dead in the eyes,
And I saw death. I saw death, bro. And in that moment, I gathered all the functioning brain cells I had left to just run. And I couldn't see where I was going. I was just hauling ass. And when I looked back, all I could see was the devious coyote eyeballs staring into my soul. And the next thing I knew, I stepped in a pothole and my trajectory completely changed from running away to eating shit, bro. And when I say falling felt like it was in slow motion, I mean I had to have been falling for 5 minutes. But once my face made contact with the ground, this is how I went out. I was about to get packed up by a pack of coyotes. As they approached, I was saying my goodbyes. But out of nowhere, I hear something in the distance. This motherfucker Bob drop kicks a coyote in the face. And it had to have been that Zaza that made these coyotes look so devious. Because after Bob socked that jit in the face, they weren't so scary. I mean, they all just ran away and dispersed. They had me like, yeah, and don't come back, bitch. So we walk back to Billy's crib and I'm still tweaking off those joints. I'm like checking behind me, checking beside me, checking the sky to make sure no evil crows pick me up and kidnap me. But we get back to Bob's crib and I sit down on the couch. And just as I finally felt relieved, I get jump scared by Walter. Bro pretty much gave me a heart attack. I thought the coyotes had invaded Bob's crib to come and kill me. But it was just good old Walter coming to chill with the boys. So I got some more pizza pops and we lived happily ever after. There's levels to friendships. I mean, you could have known your homie since you were 2 years old. You could have lived together. I mean, you could have survived the whole zombie apocalypse together. But shit, the truth is, you haven't truly experienced brotherhood until you and your homie have participated in a two-man mission. Like, just look at Kobe and Shaq, man. That type of chemistry can only be achieved by running a two-man. Shit, I bet these motherfuckers were running two-mans every night. And you already know Kobe was laying down that Mamba mentality while Shaq had his girl O'Neilin. But for those of you who may be wondering, Chains, what the hell is a two-man mission? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's quite simple, really. It's when you're gonna link with a girl, but you bring your homie and she brings her homie. And what this does is it sets an environment when you and your homie can dribble, pass, alley-oop, and ideally dunk that shit. Now don't get me wrong, it's simple, but not easy. I remember my first two-man mission like it was yesterday. It took place when I was in grade 7. And it started when my friend Joe hit me up like,
yo bro, I'm going to this girl Sophie's house and her friend Ava's there. You trying to pull up?
And I was like, am I trying to pull up? Hell yeah, I'm trying to pull up.
So we show up to her house and I'm new to this whole thing. So I'm sitting there like,
what now?
We could watch a scary movie.
Yeah, let's do it.
Calm down.
Personally, I'm not a big fan of scary movies.
Man, shut the fuck.
So we're watching a scary movie, and to be honest with you, it was simply the best scary movie I'd ever seen in my entire life. So I was really getting invested in this plot. And Ava's like, oh my god, I'm scared. And that shit went way over my head.
What? Why?
It's not even at the scary part yet. And then only 30 minutes into the movie, Joe and Sophie are like,
yo, we'll be right back.
Oh, okay. Do you guys want me to pause the movie?
Nah, it's all good, bro.
And you see, what Joe just did right there was a calculated move. In basketball terms, he just said an ISO. So now it was 2 1v1s. And the situation was absolutely perfect, but the problem was, I actually liked the fucking movie. And that violates rule number 3 in section 7 of how to pull off a successful two-man. Never give a fuck about the movie. Cause the truth is, the movie length is like the shot clock. If you end up actually watching the entire movie, you failed the mission. But I had no clue, and to be honest, I didn't even know what a two-man was at the time. So I got some popcorn and I was just watching the movie. But when the climax of the movie was about to come around, I did something that violated every term and agreement of the two-man mission. I went over to Joe and Sophie like, Hey
guys, quick, you're gonna miss the best part.
Oh, fuck. And I missed the climax of the movie, but shit, I seen a climax. And needless to say, Joe never invited me to a two-man mission since. But you know, know I had to redeem myself, even if it was 3 years later when I was in grade 10. It was a Saturday night, and me and Bob were looking for something to do. And I'm gonna keep it a stack with you, bro. I had no motion. Like, my Snapchat was drier than a Popeye's biscuit, bro. But lucky for me, Bob had a roster. And I'm talking an all-star lineup of girls who just want Bob on their body. And I don't blame them. I mean, shit, I got Bob on my body right now. And you can too at chainsclub.shop. That's right, we got hoodies, shirts, beanies, socks, keychains, stickers, you name it. And starting at the price of $4.20, Bob can be all yours. Or if you want me, I wouldn't mind being on your keychain or something.
Treat me like white tea.
So as I was saying, me and Bob were bored. So Bob hits up this girl named Avery, like, what are you doing right now? And she's like, just chilling. Who you with? My friend Alice. Let's link. I'm with my homie. Okay, is he cute? Cute as hell. Okay, come over. And I'm excited as fuck, so we get Bob's sister to drive us to Avery's crib, and as we pull up to her house, I remember a crucial detail that I'd been forgetting this whole time. I was scared of the hose, bruh. And as we walked up to her door, I was starting to get flashbacks of me and Joe's two men, where Joe tossed up an alley-oop for both of us, and I blocked his shot, metaphorically and literally. And as I'm psyching myself up, Bob calls Avery to tell her we're here, and she's like, so, my parents are asleep, so you're gonna have to come in through my window. Shit. So we walk around the side of the house to Avery's room, and lucky for us, there's this big-ass window, and I'm like, yo, can you open it so we can get in? And she's like, it is open. Bro, only this tiny ass rectangle in the top left was open at a 60 degree angle. But that was our only way in, so I help Bob up and through the window. But now I gotta get up there, and I'm bigger than Bob, so I put my head through and I'm trying to slowly creep into the room. And then I lean just a little too far, and I'm headed face first onto Alice's hardwood floor. And listen, Bob has come in clutch many times. He saved me from drowning, coyotes, getting in trouble, but out of all these things, I'm most grateful for Bob catching me as I fell through this fucking window. Because drowning and dying would have been pretty bad, like boo-hoo, rip chains, you know what I'm saying? But imagine falling through a window and eating shit face first in front of the hose. Like, I would have preferred the drowning, bro. But after that close call, I was a little flabbergasted, you know what I'm saying? But Alice has the audacity to ask me this loaded-ass question, like, oh, hey, what's your name?
Me?
Yeah, you.
The name's for real. Chains for real.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Furreal. I'm Alice. And so we all just start talking and shit, but I keep noticing Alice was getting a bunch of text messages. And I remember thinking it was probably her mom or something, so I shrugged that shit off, and I'm like, yo, we should watch a movie.
Yeah, we should. Yeah.
And I wasn't about to make the same mistake I made last time, so I found the most dog shit horror movie on the face of Netflix and threw that shit on. And man, that shit was ass. In fact, it was so ass that we just started cuddling and shit, like, what else was there to do? But now that we were close, I could feel the vibrations of Alice's phone getting a call, so she's like, one second, I'll be right back. And I wasn't trying to eavesdrop, but I could low-key hear what she was saying through the door.
I'm just at Avery's house. We're watching a movie. Oh my god, okay, that's fine. Okay.
But when she comes back, she puts a pillow between us. Like, the same type of shit two dudes do to make sure they don't fuck in their sleep. And I'm trying to piece everything together, and as I'm coming to the conclusion that this girl has a boyfriend, I hear footsteps coming towards the door. And when the door opens, I'm fucking bamboozled to see a 60-year-old man who looks furious. And I'm just hoping this isn't Alice's boyfriend, because if it is, we got bigger problems on our hands. But as I seen the way this man looked at Bob, I realized he's Avery's dad. And Bob wasted no time jumping out that fucking window. But for me, let's just say that shit wasn't very elegant, because I got stuck for what felt like 5 minutes making eye contact with this grown-ass man.
Well, what are you trying to seduce my dad or something? Like, get the fuck out.
And I'm not gonna lie, we ran, bro. And once we made it home, me and Bob were relieved. But when I go to check my phone, I got a little notification on Snapchat. And I'm expecting it to be Alice or maybe even Team Snapchat or something, I don't know. But I sure as hell wasn't expecting it to be a motherfucker named Ryan Donaldson. And Ryan must have woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning, cause he's like, what the fuck did you do, dude? So I hit him back with a, who dis? And he's like, Ryan Donaldson. Yeah, no, I can see your username, bruh, but I have no clue who you are.
I'm Alice's boyfriend, bitch. And Ryan got his shit hit with an instant block, bro. And so the moral of the story is, if you're gonna hang out with a girl who has a boyfriend, turn off your Snap Maps, bruh.
If you saw this video, you would know my very first time drinking, I got both high and drunk at the same time. But my first time being drunk takes place back when I was like 14 or 15. And this story takes place at my grandma's crib. No, listen, I know that sounds bad, but like, I mean, it's pretty bad. So the story starts with me and my brother pulling up to the family function. And right off the bat, we notice the chill cousins are nowhere to be seen. So instantly, we can tell it's gonna be a long night of engaging in conversations about school, sports, my lack of ability to pull bitches. And about 5 minutes after arriving, you know, I'm just doing some good old small talk.
Oh, hey, bud. How's school going?
Oh, you know, it's going.
And, how's sports going?
Yeah, the sports are good.
Nice.
So, the weather lately, huh? And then after about 20 minutes, me and my brother are just getting our shit flamed by every member of the family.
No wonder you can't get a girlfriend. You're ugly as shit.
Damn, that was just mean.
And don't get me started on you. You had a 3-year head start and still can't get any bitches.
And honestly, we just can't say anything back because last time I tried.
Man, still no girlfriend. That's brutal.
Not as brutal as your third divorce, am I right? Okay, guys, so instead of flaming the living shit out of this grown man in front of his mom, I decide to be the bigger man. I just laughed that shit off. And then got the fuck out of there before they brought up my school grades. So as my brother and I sit down in a different room, I'm just in agony thinking about how everything this dude flamed me for was actually true. But my brother, on the other hand, he was whipping up some devious plan. Yo, Chains, follow me.
Oh, okay.
So we walk down to the basement. So, what are we doing in the basement? He opens a cupboard full of alcohol. Bro just cracks the seal on some vodka and starts downing that shit. Now, usually I would know this is a bad idea, but to be honest, I just got done getting my entire existence shit on by my own family. So I'm really just trying to drink my pain away at this point. I mean, we were passing that bottle drinking like rent was due and the wife was taking the kids. So with that being said, we got a little hammered. And keep in mind, this was my first time being drunk. So as soon as I stood up, I ate shit. It was like I had to relearn the controls of life. But we had to get out of the basement or else we'd look suspicious. So our drunk asses plug walked our way up the stairs. But we were trying to act as casual as possible. So we sit back down with the rest of the family like we didn't just down a bottle of vodka. And me and my bro were just sitting there looking at each other trying not to laugh. But the next thing I knew, this dude Uncle Jerry was back on my ass.
Hey look, Dumb and Dumber are back.
And at this point, I'm using every bone in my body not to end this man's whole career.
Man, whose gene is it that made you so damn hideous?
Don't do it, bro. Don't do it, bro. And I really didn't want to do him like that, but the vodka took control. It was your hideous gene, Gerald. But at least I didn't get the same gene that has you 5'2 and balding. Like, I can't tell if you're going through puberty or a midlife crisis. And shit, I didn't stop there. And Joe, I want to hear you talking. You're built like Baymax from Big Hero 6.
What the fuck is Big Hero 6?
Mom, I love you. Karen, sit down. Your mac and cheese tastes like ass. And Bob, you're literally a registered sex offender. Grandma, I love you. Bernard, your hairline looks like it's social distancing from your eyebrows. And Irene, how are you 47 and still work at McDonald's? And you got no drip.
Come on, bro. Friendly fire. Oh, shit. You're right. My bad. My bad. Needless to say, I was handing out smoke to everybody. Something in that vodka turned me to a demon. And I guess since everyone was mad at me for dissing the entire family, they never knew I was drunk as hell. But in the end, I did feel really bad for roasting my entire family tree. But ever since that day, everybody stopped flaming me. So, it was worth it.
Here at Stickman High, we understand the importance of learning. That's exactly why our new curriculum has been perfected to accelerate the learning of each and every student. Like, hey, look at this kid.
Wait, what?
Look how big his head is. It must be full to the brim with all that knowledge we provide.
Hey, it's not that big.
No, it's pretty fucking big. Anyways, let's take a look at how the new curriculum pushes our students in the weight room. Oh, wow, impressive. See, I didn't even know legs could bend like that.
They can't.
All right, stop recording. Stop the recording. Stop the recording. Stop the recording. All right, Stickman High, welcome to the new curriculum, and let's study those textbooks.
All right, class, are we ready to learn about this new curriculum or what? we could just do a kahoot?
That's what I've been waiting for. That's what it's all about.
Man, I fucking love cahoots, and I don't study for shit. Bro, I feel like cahoots are the exact equivalent of the good old here comes the airplane trick. Like,
yo, you want a Brussels sprout?
Aw, hell nah, bro. Those are disgusting.
Oh, shit. Alright, but here comes the airplane.
Hey, James, you need to study for this history test.
Hell nah, bro. That shit's boring as hell.
Okay, yeah, but...
The Declaration of Independence was signed on the... Because personally, I didn't give a single fuck about what we're learning in school. But I swear they infused the Kahoot music with Adderall or like crack or some shit. Because a game of Kahoot used to have me all the way locked in. And I would be grinding my way up those leaderboards. Like, I'd make it to third place and then second place and then... first, and then the teacher would throw in some bullshit like, now what position was Abraham Lincoln conceived in? So I go for the safe answer, and all of a sudden I dropped 14 places, and I'm getting passed by goddamn Dildo and Duncan McCockiner. And the teacher's over here yapping about,
yeah, guys, you should know this one. It's, chapter 13 in your textbooks.
Like, bro, why the actual fuck should we know this one? But in these cahoots, people were coming up with the most outrageous names of all time, bro. I remember any time a teacher would pull up a cahoot, the first names would start off normal as hell. Jessica, Eric, maybe a little Bartholomew. But as soon as one dude drops a name that's ever so slightly comical, every single name after that ends up being more and more out of pocket than the last. It's like a competition to see who's gonna push that shit the furthest. Like Richard Long quickly turns into Ben Dover, which nicely parlays into Hugh Janus, which passes it over to I Swallow Cum, who alley-oops it for Wilma Dickfit, which eventually somehow always ends up with the teacher just catching mad strays. Like somewhere along the line, that shit goes from Dixie Normus to Miss Jackson's built like Mike Wazowski. Alright, who said I'm built like Mike? I remember I had this teacher who used to love cahoots. Shit, she loved her cahoots so much, we'll call her Miss Cahooters. Nope. Nah, we're not actually doing that. We're not calling her that. I think we'll just go with Miss Cahoot. You know what I'm saying? I think Miss Cahoot works just fine. And every Friday or so, we would walk into Miss Cahoot's class, and she would have a Cahoot pulled up smiling from ear to ear. Which, I'm not gonna lie, was really sad to see. Not because she was smiling, but because I knew in 20 minutes tops, that smile would turn into straight anger, bro. Hey class, happy Friday. We're gonna do another Kahoot because I know it's a class favorite. Just please, everyone be appropriate.
DJ Bustanut, are you serious? In my 22 years of teaching, I have never...
And I felt bad for Miss Kahoot, you know, like, I really did. But it was low-key her fault for running it back so many times. Because DJ Bustanut just couldn't stop catching these dubs, bro. He was a dog. But nah, I really do feel Miss Kahoot. Because sometimes even Kahoot pisses me off, bro. Because picture this, I'm here grinding out these answers, giving it my all, even cheating a little off that one smart motherfucker with the big ass laptop, but I still get a few answers wrong, you know,
nobody's perfect. But imagine my pain as I read my screen and find out I'm 76 points behind fucking Sebastian, bro. And I look up at Sebastian and this motherfucker doesn't even know what he's playing. He's just happy to be here and shit. But there's only one feeling worse than being 76 points behind Sebastian, and that feeling always came from the easiest questions. It would be like, oh, what? This is a little too easy. How do you say hi in English? And you're trying to speedrun this shit, so you click the first thing that kinda makes a little bit of sense and the answers come up, and you're the only motherfucker to get that shit wrong.
No,
Who's dumbass got that shit wrong? And everyone's looking around for who got it wrong, like,
yo, whose dumbass got that shit wrong, bruh?
Facts, bruh, type shit. Dumbass type shit. The fucking dumbass.
Chains? Were you the dumbass who got that shit wrong, bro?
Me? The dumbass? Nah, shut up. Shut the fuck up. Nah. It was probably
Sebastian, bro. Just look at that motherfucker. And I feel like there's only 7 types of people in class when you're playing a Kahoot. And the first is Dover. Bend over. We all know him and we all love him. He's got a smart name but not a smart brain. He might get the first answer right, but then he falls off the face of the leaderboards, never to be seen again. But on the leaderboards, we got Genius George. Cause George actually studied the material like a well-prepared and studious nerd, bruh. Cause George was the type of dude to be like,
calculate for the common denominator.
Oh man, this one is too easy. Like, bro, if you don't shut the fuck up, I'm about to commonly dominate that ass.
No, it's called a denominator.
Oh, I know. And I swear every game of Kahoot had that one person who took their sweet time to answer every single question. Like, it could be 1 + 1, and this motherfucker would be 30 seconds deep into the question, like, okay, 1 + 1. Is it a trick question?
No, just answer the question.
Oh, okay, 1 + 1 =
the answer's two, dumbass.
Okay, can I use a lifeline and phone a friend?
Alright, chat, how do we kick Jasmine out of the lobby?
And then we got Flying Fuck Frederick, and Flying Fuck Frederick doesn't give a flying fuck. Dude will give his best shot at the first question, and then he's aborting mission and playing some goddamn Clash Royale. And then there's always that one dude yelling out the wrong answers.
Alright, what's the biggest in the world?
Ooh, I know this one. Chains, it's blue, bro. Trust. Oh, shit, bet. Wait, no, I meant red. Sorry, my tongue slipped, bro, my bad.
Bro. Oh, and it looks like Chains is off the leaderboard. Everyone, let's point our fingers and laugh at him.
And we got the radiating Redditor. And I say radiating because that boy is radiating the most profuse body odor known to man. And I don't know, maybe it's all a part of their strategy to win because that shit throws you off your game, bro. They'll be invading your nostrils with a concoction of Doritos, Skibbity Toilet, and Badoosie. And if you've ever played against a Redditor in a game of Kahoot, you may be wondering, yo, how is this dude getting every answer right while sitting back drinking Mountain Dew watching Best Sigma Moment compilations? And the answer is he's cheating, bro. And not the normal kind of cheating either. This dude's using a Kahoot bot to get every answer right. And now you may be thinking, nah, why would someone cheat on a Kahoot, bro? It's not that serious. And that's facts, but the thing is, the prize was a gummy bear, and this dude can't leave no calories behind. And then we got the casual Kahooters. Fuck, I gotta stop saying that shit, bro. I was trying to say we got the people who just play the game. They got normal names, they get some right, they get some wrong, but at the end of the day, they probably still get their shit yelled at, all because DJ Bustanut couldn't stop catching these dubs.
Alright.
High school bathrooms have to be one of the most unorthodox places in the entire world. Walking into the bathroom, you have absolutely no clue what to expect. And honestly, that's the best part. I remember one time I had walked into the bathroom, you know, to take a piss. And when I had opened the door, I was not surprised to see some motherfucker getting his head shaved bald. And these dudes were so casual about it too. Yo, what's up? What up? And you know, it's cool and all to be able to be entertained while you're trying to release your bodily fluids. But I mean, sometimes you just want some peace and quiet. Because you truly never know when something like this can happen to you. And that is precisely why I'm scared to ever shit in the school bathroom. And listen, my school bathroom has always been bad, but these TikTok trends that keep popping up made the bathroom situation so much worse. Yo, look at this TikTok. That's kind of funny.
1 week later.
Damn, someone took the soap dispensers. Who snatched the blow dryers, bruh? Where the fuck did the urinals go?
1 hour later.
Hold up. Who hit a lick on the bathroom? These TikToks had the school announcements like,
"Guys, I'm begging you, stop with the devious licks."
If you see anyone hitting a devious lick in the bathroom, report it to the office immediately. And I'm not gonna lie, this trend was low-key pointless. Like, once you go home, fuck are you gonna do with the broken blow dryer, bruh? But there was one TikTok bathroom trend that was fire. So, what is the square root of pi? Chains. Yeah, can I go to the bathroom? Be quick. Am I tripping or did I just hear... Yeah, bro. Bathroom functions are a 10 out of 10 TikTok trend. Hey, man, if you're still in high school, I recommend trying it. Anyways, I've obviously never been in the girls' washroom before, but I be seeing way too many TikToks filmed in there. Like, is it just a normal thing for girls to go to the washroom while other girls are just in there hitting the renegade? Like, I wouldn't know, but that whole situation seems a little bit awkward to me. Wait,
renegade.
And when it comes to most public schools, the washroom is like the black market of the school. So there's always some dude trying to sell you something. Yo, you need anything right now? I got that Gandalf OG, that Alaskan Thunder, some purple monkey balls, got those Girl Scout cookies. Hey man, just give me a second, I'm kind of busy right now. I got that Sour Diesel, that Granddaddy Purple Deluxe. Trust me, this stuff will blow your socks off. And every once in a while, someone will bring boxing gloves. All of a sudden, the school bathroom turns into the octagon. People are getting knocked out, dropped, and getting hit with the guillotine chokehold. But as soon as a teacher walks in...
We are currently facing a life-threatening epidemic that is threatening the lives of many teens around the world. Oh, what's that? Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay, it has been brought to my attention that there's a new strain let loose that is infecting more teens than ever. The strain is propylene glycol formaldehyde. Street name, Guava Ice. So stay safe out there, and back to you, Linda.
What? Oh shit! Man, way back when, somewhere in Timbuktu, a Homo sapien found a plant by the name of tobacco, and for whatever reason, somewhere in this dude's caveman brain, he decided,
me, smoke, now.
And that he did. And as humans slowly evolved, smoking did too, and soon motherfuckers went from looking all old and wise, smoking these big old pipes, to soon smoking cigars on some mafia boss shit. Which turned into cigarettes. Now back in the day, if you were stressing, Doc would prescribe you a pack of good old cigarettes. Sore throat?
Cigarettes.
Oh, you got a cough?
Here, smoke a cigarette.
But after a while, people's teeth started looking all British and shit, so they decided,
boy, I don't think these are healthy, innit?
So we decided we needed to make cigarettes better, and you know what makes everything better? The letter E. Your mail's taking too long to come in? Email. Wait, what's that? You wanna play sports, but your ass at every single sport?
Esports.
Oh, you got daddy issues?
E-girl.
So of course, when people realize cigarettes are killing them...
E-cigarettes.
Man, one thing leads to another and shit. You got yourself a Vaporizer Gen Y GTX box mod with 3 USB charging ports, a speaker, and a 6-inch LED touchscreen that can play Flappy Bird. Like, vaping is just getting a little too advanced, bro. Like, I remember one time I was chilling in the washroom with my homie Billy, and of course a motherfucker walks in with a vape. But this was no regular vape, no. This shit looked like a gadget straight out of fucking Star Wars. Yo, you wanna hit? A hit? A hit of your iPhone?
iPhone?
This is that E-Smoke FTX 763 third series, my boy. Watch this. Yo, did he just hotbox the whole bathroom in one hit?
Yes
the fuck I did.
And
this shit's 100, Nick.
Holy shit, where did you find 100, Nick?
I ended up mixing my 50 Nick guava juice with my 50 Nick blueberry ice, and it just kinda added up to 100.
Bro, I don't think that's how it works.
Shut up, my mom's calling me.
Yo, fuck you, mom.
And that was the moment I realized there really is levels to this shit. Level 1. Level 1 is the type of dude who isn't addicted, but he'll occasionally take a hit of somebody's device. But level 2, bro's borderline addicted, but he's still in the denial phase.
Bro, are you addicted to vaping?
Addicted? Nah, I don't even vape like that, bruh.
Shit.
Do 5 jumping jacks right now.
Bro, what? That's easy.
1, 2, 3, 4. Level 3, the fiend. This motherfucker is strapped up with some nicotine at all times, and even when he has a vape in his hand, this dude will ask for yours. And God forbid, if this fiend loses his vape, this motherfucker will be stressing like he just lost his only child. A fiend without a vape is the exact equivalent of one of these purple minions. Dude will be itching for that shit, and Lord knows what that man will do for a fix. Level 4, the fiend who sells vapes. At this point, this dude's whole life revolves around vapes. In fact, I'm pretty sure they don't even breathe oxygen anymore. Like, in order to breathe, they need to inhale some chemicals that I can't even spell. Which, honestly, it doesn't even say that much. Like, I can't spell a lot of shit, but what I'm trying to say is their bodies have just fully adapted in order to consume as much nicotine as possible. They breathe that shit, they drink the vape juice, and when they're hungry, shit, they just munch on the vape itself. And the worst part is they can't even run out of vapes. Like, shit, they are the plug. This motherfucker's just the CEO of getting high on his own supply. Like, dude is his own number one customer. Level 5. This motherfucker, bro. Like, why do you need a LED touchscreen on your vape, bro? Like, you already have a phone. Wait. Did you just order that pizza from your vape?
Mm-hmm.
Shit. Where'd you get this from?
And don't get me started on these flavors, bro. Like, tell me why these motherfuckers can make a vape juice and call that shit early riser. And that shit literally tastes like a Wednesday at 6 a.m.
Like, what the fuck type of ingredients mixed together to taste like a Wednesday at 6 a.m.?
But early riser isn't even the weirdest flavor on the market. Because if you're feeling the family dinner vibes, you can get a rotisserie chicken flavor. Or if your breath is smelling nice and fresh, you could fuck that shit up quick with some garlic flavor juice. And they even got bacon.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, that shit sounds fire as fuck.
And lastly, now I don't even know if I can say this on YouTube right now, but shit, you can even get yourself some Worcestershire.
But regardless, I think we all know the home of nicotine. The eternal hot box. The communal vape sesh.
It's the high school bathrooms, man.
You walk into one of these joints and there's at least 15 dudes hotboxing that shit at like 10 a.m. You come in trying to take a piss and now you got a head rush. You walk over to the urinals, but it's so goddamn hotbox, you start pissing all over the walls. But shit, you can't even piss on the walls in peace, man. You got that one fiend coming over to you trying to suck your device dry, and dude's so down bad for that hit that's not the only thing he'd suck dry.
And listen, you may be thinking, Chains, how do you know what you know about vaping?
And that's a great question. Back in the day, I was a curious little George, man. And back in grade 7, I was chilling at my friend Becky's house. And when I walked into Becky's crib, I was nothing but an innocent, curious young man. But little did I know, I would leave Becky's crib far different than I entered. So you know, me, Bob, and Billy are posted in Becky's room, and I was sitting with Becky, so Becky asked me,
"Have you ever hit a vape before?"
Hell no, I hadn't, but you know I had to play it cool around Becky, so I said, "Yeah."
Yeah, I do that shit all the time.
And so, of course, she passes me the vape. And honestly, I didn't think this far ahead, but I was in way too deep to come clean now. So I put that shit in my mouth, and I sucked the fuck out of it. Pause. And because this was the first time anything had made contact with my lungs beside oxygen, my lungs started malfunctioning. And I was coughing up a storm, and my cool guy cover was blown, but I had to see it through.
Oh my god, are you okay?
This shit ain't nothing for a guy like me.
Guys, Jesus, dying.
And as I went on with my life, I would hit a device here and there, and eventually I even learned some tricks and shit. But one day, me and my homie had to run to catch a bus. And so we start running, but the homie doesn't even make it 100 meters, and he starts rolling on the floor, coughing up blood. And I was like, no, fuck that. And you know, I haven't touched a vape ever since, man, so stay safe and breathe air for real. Man, the very moment my Stickman lips graze the tip of that sweet, sweet Zaza, it's wraps for all the food in the fridge. And as soon as that THC tickles my brain, it's GG's. The food in my closet is already consumed, bruh. And shit, when I run out of food in the crib, I give my condolences to the local McDonald's workers. Cause man, I'm about to have those motherfuckers working overtime. Now listen, man, shout out to all my big homies out there, but I'm gonna make it clear real quick that I am not one of y'all. In fact, I make sure that I am precisely 64 pixels wide at all times. However, I will say mentally and in my heart, I am a little bit of an EDP-445. No. I like food. What I was trying to say is that I like food, and usually I can resist food, but once that devil's lettuce gets a hold of my brain, I become a certified fat ass. I'm talking 750 pixels wide at least. I'm eating anything in sight, and as soon as I run out of food, I go to a new site and eat everything in sight again. And honestly, this shit is becoming a problem, bro.
No shit, buddy, your arteries are clogging.
Yeah.
And your blood pressure is through the roof.
Yeah, that too.
And you're developing type 7 diabetes.
Whoa, type 7? I thought there was only two types.
There was, until your fat ass decided to eat 87 ice cream sandwiches. How the fuck do you stomach 87 ice cream sandwiches?
Anyways, man, the munchies are lit, bro, because it's the only time you can truly taste each individual atom as it hits your tongue. Like, eating some good food while high is like a meditation, bro. Like, when you're zooted munching on some Doritos and you start closing your eyes, shit, you might just fuck around and become the Dorito. Now, this happens to me on a routinely basis, and as heavenly as that experience is, I must warn you, when you come out of your Dorito coma, you will be at least 5 bags deep in that motherfucker, and your hands may never be the same. Man, I'm still trying to recover to this day. Yeah, my Doritos still taste like fingers, bro. And if staining my fingers orange and developing a new type of diabetes sounds bad, my munchies addiction gets worse, bro. Because when you combine the zooted desire for food with the distorted judgment of the baked brain, shit, that's the perfect equation to put me into crippling debt. Especially back in the day, because as a youngin', the only thing I was cooking was my brain cells, bruh. So that meant I had to buy food. And to put it into simpleton terms, well, I was broke as shit. I remember one hot sunny day, me and the boys were chilling at a carnival with some of our other boys, and one of those boys whips out his dap pen. And so of course everyone flocks around that dude and chiefs the fuck out of his dap pen, and 15 minutes later, that shit hit. But you know what hit even harder? The goddamn munchies. And so there I was, walking around the carnival, absolutely blasted, with $50 to my name, looking for something to eat. And don't get me wrong, the carnival had lots of options, but they were really taxing out here, and for a dude with 50 bones to his name, I needed to find the most bang for my buck. And there I saw it. It was beautiful, a pink ice cream truck glistening in the summer sun. So you know I had to hop in line, and as I'm waiting in this line, the dude in front of me turns around, and he's like, damn, bro, you look high as giraffe balls, dude. What? Me? Nah, what? Me? No.
Hey, don't worry, dude.
I am too.
Oh, shit.
So me and my newfound homie are just chopping it up, talking about how sensational this ice cream is about to be, and soon enough, it was the homie's turn to order. Yo, dude, let me borrow one of those cookie dough ice cream cones. Alrighty, here you go. That'll be $12.
$12, bro? That's like half my net worth.
Trust me, it's worth it, dude.
Yo, let me get a cookie
cookie cone.
All right, cookies and cream, here you go. And as I licked that thing, man, that shit was sensational as fuck. But as I turned around, I seen the baked homie step into a pothole and absolutely fumble his ice cream cone. And I'm not gonna lie, that was some of the saddest shit I ever seen. So I go walk over to give him some of mine. Hey man, you want some cookies and cream? Oh shit, thank you, man.
Bro, did you just drop both of our $12 ice cream cones?
Fuck.
Then we were back in line like nothing ever happened. But man, waiting in that sun, my mouth was parched and my eyes were dry. And by the time we made it to the end of the line, I was looking like dried up SpongeBob, bro.
Hey, it's you again.
Can I get the cream, the one with the cream.
Yeah.
And at last, after dropping half my net worth on ice cream, I took a big bite of that ice cream cone and man, I felt every sugar granule, every atom, every proton and electron contained within that bite. And for the time being, the munchies were cured.
My first time eating magic mushrooms. Now this story takes place on a spooky Halloween night. And of course, when you're young, Halloween is about dressing up and getting candy from strangers. But as you get older, you grow to realize the true meaning of Halloween is to commit as many devious and malicious crimes in one night as humanly possible. Like when me and my homies first transformed from some young, innocent gentlemen into some unethical and deceitful delinquents, we planned out some criminal activities for our first teenager Halloween. Yo, trick-or-treating is for nerds, where we're gonna drink alcohol and smoke grass.
Whoa. Yeah.
That is so teenager. So you know, we drink their drink and we smoke their grass. Man, I sure could fuck up some Reese's Pieces right now. Not gonna lie, some Skittles would be fire. Alright, fuck it. So we threw on last year's Halloween drip and shamelessly went trick-or-treating baked as fuck.
Trick-or-treat.
Aren't you guys a little bit old to be trick-or-treating?
No,
but we got our candy and we went back to Billy's crib and the munchies took over. I mean, we fucked that shit up so fast that we changed costumes and we spun the block.
Trick-or-treat.
Didn't you guys already come here?
No. There's a snake in my boot.
So all Halloween, me and the gang pretty much just ate chocolate. But by the time next year rolled around, okay, this Halloween is going to be the best Halloween yet. But how can we top last year? Yeah, we already smoked grass and ingested alcohol well underaged. Cause I got these. This dude, Billy, whips out a handful of shrooms. And honestly, Billy didn't even need to convince us, cause me and Bob were trying to have the best Halloween ever. So we split it up, and we all down a sizable amount of magic mushrooms for our first time. And let me tell you, there are many smooth ways to consume some magic mushrooms. One being the pizza technique, as well as the good old PB and Shroom Sammy. However, we had smoked and we had drank before, but magic mushrooms were completely out of our expertise. So we just choked them shits down raw. And it was strange. It tasted like I just ate earth. If earth was dry as fuck and like chewy. But about 20 minutes after eating the shrooms, Billy has a genius idea. Okay, hear me out. We go trick-or-treating, collect some candy real quick, and come back. So when these mushrooms hit, we can be eating good. Okay. Wait, then we need some costumes. Okay, I do have three costumes, but like, just don't ask any questions, okay? Why do you have no questions, bro? Now let's go get this bag of candy. So we're mobbing around the neighborhood in some gangster Teletubby suits. And we roll up to the first house, like...
Trick or treat. Aw, you guys are so cute. And we were banging out house after house. But after about four houses, I started to notice my Teletubby mitts were looking a little suspicious. But I didn't have time to think about the psychedelics that were potentially invading my brain, because I had bigger priorities. Go cop some Halloween candy.
Trick or treat.
Trick or treat. But as we walked up to the eighth house, I was undeniably tripping balls. Cause as I looked up at Bob, I just started uncontrollably laughing my ass off. And Bob's shrooms must have kicked in too, because we were both just hysterically laughing at each other for no reason. But then the door opened and I saw this tall ass bald dude with an unconceivably large smile on his face. I mean, the shrooms made it look like his smile was just unproportionately big, and I just assumed it was a Halloween mask.
Man, I love your Halloween costume.
What costume?
Oh, holy shit. We need to get home ASAP.
So we're making our way back home, tripping balls in our Teletubby costumes, and I'm just seeing the stars falling out of the sky. Then out of nowhere, Billy yells, "What the fuck is that?" I'm probably just tripping, but it looks like zombies running towards us at full speed.
Oh, yeah. I see it too.
Oh shit, we gotta run. So me, Billy, and Bob start booking it back to Billy's house. And I am hauling ass because there is no way I'm getting packed up by some zombies right now. And when I look back, I don't see some zombie costume. No, I see some real ass zombies. Like, bones sticking out, eyeballs look like they haven't blinked in centuries, and that shit just made me run faster. Cause to me, this was a life or death situation. I mean, in reality, it probably just looked like...
Ah! 360 Ooga Booga Booga!
We get back to Billy's crib. Holy shit, get in.
Lock it.
And we were not taking any chances. I mean, we barricaded every single door in the entire house. And for a second, it was a horrible trip. I mean, I thought I was in the zombie apocalypse. But once we settled down, we were having the time of our lives, chilling and eating candy while tripping balls.
Booga booga!
Man, sometimes this world can be a little cold. It can get a little gray, but there is nothing that can bring more excitement and vibrance to your life than having a crush. I mean, it gives you something to wake up for, something to smile for, someone to impress, and someone to be absolutely crushed by, leaving you more depressed than ever before. Which is when you get a new crush. I mean, crushes make the world go around. Everyone's had a crush at some point in time, and sometimes that shit gets too serious. I mean, I've had homies prepared to throw away their entire lives just to impress their crush, bro. Oh my god, look at these big weights. I wonder if anyone's strong enough to lift these. Oh my god, look at this big jump. I wonder if anyone's athletic enough to make. Oh my god, look how creepy this cave is. I wonder if anyone's brave enough. Oh my god, look how tall this building is. I wonder if anyone could stick the landing. I said, I wonder if anyone could stick the lan- Oh, ew, did he just die? Oh my god, I'm getting the ick.
Nope, just getting a few extra reps in.
Man, I remember my first crush like it was yesterday, bro. She was 5 years old. But I was 5 years old too, right? Like, so it wasn't actually yesterday, you know, it's a saying, but we were both 5 years old, and I remember slotting in smooth as hell.
Yo, shorty, you like Legos?
Yeah.
How about you and me go Lego my ego?
What does that even mean?
Shit, I don't even know. I seen it in a commercial once.
And after that day, me and Rose hung out all the time. We'd be playing Legos, we'd link up at recess, and I couldn't help but let her know how I truly felt.
Hey Rose,
I like you.
Oh, I like you too.
And that shit had me thinking, damn, this life shit is easy as hell. I'm barely 5 years old and I already got a wife to raise my kids.
Little did my dumbass know, life wasn't all sunshine and rainbows. Cause when I came to class the next day, I saw Rose playing Lego with another dude.
And that was the day I realized, crushes cause nothing but pain.
Especially before high school, cause let's just think about the three possible outcomes.
One, you have a crush on this girl and you decide to tell her, cause
what's the worst that could happen, man?
You guys are right. Stacy? Yeah, I have a crush on you.
Or two, you never build up the courage to tell her and end up watching your crush sit in a tree with the faster kid who had the light up Skechers and the Charizard EX.
And we all know what happens when Stacy and Jimmy are sitting in a tree.
Or outcome three, you confess to your crush and it's the perfect scenario.
I like you too.
Now you've officially started your first middle school relationship, which is probably the worst outcome of all, bro. Cause now you've been sentenced to 14 days of relentless cringe and countless awkward scenarios. And I say 14 days because that shit's lasting 14 days max, bro.
Hey Stacy, do you want to be my girlfriend?
Yeah, okay.
Oh, huh. Yeah, awesome. Huh.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Woohoo!
do you want to hold hands or something?
Yeah, sure.
So, Stacy, I've been thinking. I don't think this whole thing's gonna work out.
Oh. Okay.
It's not me, it's you.
Oh. Wait, what?
Yo, fuck my ass.
Or what's even more tough than having a crush in middle school is having a crush on a fictional character, bruh.
Cause it's like, you'll just be chilling, watching some Teen Titans eating cereal or whatever.
All of a sudden your crush is kissing other dudes right in front of you and you can't even do shit about it.
I remember back in my day, I was down horrendous for Lola Bunny, bruh. And I really don't know how I feel about admitting my attraction towards a 2D cartoon bunny, but you gotta remember, this was in the past. Like, this was at least 2 months ago.
And maybe I'm tweaking on this one, but the red fish from Shark Tale, bruh, she was different, bro. And her name, I think it was Lola as well.
Shit, maybe I just like cartoon girls named Lola or something.
That's exactly what I wanted to hear.
And I don't know about you, but for some reason, whenever I would talk to my crush, it was like I got an instant nerf, bro. I'm talking minus 10 charisma, plus 15 stutter, minus 5 strength, and plus 350% chance of getting put in a random ass headlock. Like, I could be in the worst scenario of all time with a girl who has 5 kids and is married to a member of the cartel. And just cause she's not my type, I'll get an instant stat boost that'll have me pulling like Mr. Duke Dennis himself. But put me in a room with my crush and all of a sudden I got the same charisma as fucking McLovin.
Hi.
Hey, it's 10:33.
What?
A.M. Like in the morning. Like I'm saying, it's 10:33 in the morning. Fuck.
And on top of your crush turning you into McLovin, it also leaves you open to the inevitable pain of being embarrassed in front of your crush.
And man, let me tell you, there is nothing quite like it.
It was a beautiful sunny day and I was in grade 2 wearing my favorite bright blue basketball shorts in math class, gazing out the window at those shiny old monkey bars, excited for recess. And when the bell rang, I hauled my little ass over to those bars and I was swinging like there was no tomorrow. And before I knew it, the whole class was on these monkey bars, which quickly turned into chicken fights, and I wasn't complaining. I mean, hanging from a bar and kicking the living shit out of some toddlers? Sign me up, you know what I'm saying? So I'm in line watching these grade 2 gladiator battles go down until it was my turn, and when I step up to those bars, I look into the crowd and see my crush of 2 weeks. Lexi. And now that Lexi was watching, there was no chance I was about to lose this fight in front of her. But as I look over to see who my opponent is, I realize it's Axel. And Axel was known for being the undisputed chicken fight champion. Legend had it he once took on 3 dudes at once, pause. So I knew going into this, I had to lock the fuck in, bro. So we climb over to each other and he's kicking my shit in off rip until I hit his ass with my specialty move, the Python Squeeze.
and in 10 seconds flat, let's just say, I folded that motherfucker's clothes. With him still in them, and everyone was hyping me up because I just did the exact equivalent of dunking on Michael Jordan in his prime with Beyonce watching. So of course Axel's pissed. Hey Chains, you, me, rematch now. And I look over at Lexi, and she looks over at me, and now I can't back down. So we get back in position, climb over to each other, and I go for the Python squeeze again, and this motherfucker Axel just winds up and kicks me in the balls. And I'm not gonna lie, that hefty kick to the dick accessories was the worst pain I had ever felt in my 7-year-old life. But I couldn't just drop and lose to Axel in front of Lexi, so with all the pain and anger I feel radiating from my nuts, I hit Axel with the meanest 20-piece combo in chicken fight history, and he drops. And then he pants my shit, bro. And embarrassed, I drop and try to run away, but the shorts around my ankles trip me, and I face plant. Face down, tighty whities up, balls in shambles in front of everyone, including Lexi. And some people like to say, oh, it could always be worse, but this time, I don't know, man. So the moral of the story is, man, fuck Axel, bro.
Man, smoking too much, greening out, ODing on the devil's lettuce, whatever you'd like to call it, many of us have been there at least once in our lifetime. And man, I'll be the first to say it is not fun. But I do actually have a funny story about my first time greening out. I mean, it's funny now, but when it happened, I was shitting myself. So this story dates way back when I was just a young jit. I was still in 8th grade. And man, don't ask me why, but it takes place on a Thursday, on a school night. Alright, so it's a Thursday at 7 p.m. My friends and I are just headed to this girl's house. We'll call her Mary. So when me and my friends arrive at Mary's house, I quickly find out her dad is pretty chill.
Yo, what's up?
And you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. So we'll just say Mary was no stranger smoking some gas now and then. With that being said, I kinda was. I had only smoked a few times. And the times that I had smoked, it wasn't anything crazy. So walking into the Mary household, I could kinda tell we were gonna smoke. So we all just went to her room and talked for about 5 minutes until all my friends started smoking. And it was out of some strangely shaped water bottle I had never seen before. And listen bro, it was a Thursday on a school night, so I wasn't really planning on smoking, right? But when you're in middle school, peer pressure just hits differently, bro. So there my dumbass was on a Thursday night using this weirdly shaped water bottle for the first time, knowing that I had a curfew of 9 o'clock. And I just instantly started coughing. I was definitely the least experienced out of all my friends, so I remember my homies were kinda helping me out. Especially my homie, Bob. Bob brought me some water and told me to let him know if it hits too hard. I told him, yeah, for sure, but I'm pretty sure I'm chilling. Because it had already been a few minutes at this point, and it was safe to say I didn't feel anything. And after 10 minutes, I remember thinking, I bet I'm definitely good by now. I probably just didn't have enough to actually get me high. So shit, maybe I can make it back for my 9 o'clock curfew after all. That shit hit me like Mike Tyson in his prime, bro. I don't know why no one told me this new device would have me slumped like Nate Robinson. But it's already too late at this point. My vision started to get choppy. It's like I was running 30 frames per second in real life. And of course, the dry eyes starts to kick in, and I just get really hot out of nowhere. And I guess at this point, Bob could just see the panic in my face. So Bob was like, come with me, and he brought me to the bathroom. And bro was prepared. He threw down a pillow and a blanket and was just like, you're gonna be alright, bro. And as he leaves me in the dark in the bathroom, I can hear from the other room, he's definitely greening out.
He's greening?
Nah, not Chains.
Nah, my boy.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace? Bro, am I about to die right now?
But to be honest, my brain was way too fried to even care. The effects were getting worse by the minute. And as I laid there in the dark on Mary's bathroom floor, I felt my soul leave my body. I was just flying around space and, you know, traveling through the galaxy and shit. But I'm brought back to life because I felt my phone buzzing. And when I woke back up, I had no clue where I was. And then when I looked in the mirror, who the fuck is this guy? While I was out here putting the pieces together, trying to figure out who I am, Bob hits me with another, come with me. I got a ride so we can get you back home. But you have to act normal, okay? Okay, just get in the car. It was his older sister driving. And when I got in the car, I was stressing. Act cool, bro. Act cool. Hi, how are you? I'm not high. Fuck. She knows. And the rest of the ride was just pretty much silent. I got out of the car and I stumbled all the way over to the front door. At this point, I was praying my mom was asleep. So I called my brother to open the front door.
What's up?
Door. At this point, I'm malfunctioning. I'm trying to explain what is happening to my brother, and it pretty much just went like this. Bro, is mom awake? Bro, holy, you're gone, bruh. I'm sorry, but this is the only way. Huh? What the hell, bruh? I'm not gonna lie, the smack low-key woke me up a little bit. But still, I was way too big to be saved. But at least mom isn't awake.
Chains, get up here right now.
I'm fucked. The jig is up, bro. I slowly walk up the stairs to my inevitable doom. Still high off my ass, I walk into my mom's room and seal my fate. Yeah, bro, I got grounded for a year and a half. And when I woke up to go to school the next day, I was still baked as hell.
First dates have the potential to be magical, fantastical, romantical, a night you will never forget. But they also got the potential to be straight booty. I mean, first dates are just a gamble, bro, especially if it's from a dating app. Like, you could show up to your first date with a 5'4 blonde Tinder girl and end up finding out she's 5'9. And she's brunette. And she's a dude. I mean, first dates from dating apps is kind of like buying one of those SpongeBob popsicles from an ice cream truck. Like, you know it's not gonna look the same as the advertisement, but the question is, how fucked up can it really be? And let me just say, extremely fucked up. I'm talking massive buck teeth, eyes crossed with a bite taken out of it, and I'm not talking about the popsicles. And these are the exact reasons my very first date was not from Tinder. Also because I was in grade 7. And that would be illegal. And when I was in grade 7, I was 12, as most grade 7s were. And for whatever reason, me and my homies loved going to the mall after school. Which was weird, cause we had no money. So after another successful day of walking around and being too broke to buy anything, we walked back to the bus terminal by the mall, and as we walked up to our bus stop, we see these two girls waiting there. And the closer we got, the more familiar these girls started looking until we realized one of them was in our class. And so we walk up to them like, yo, are you Kate? Oh shit, Billy Bob and Chains. What's up? Oh, nothing much. How are you guys doing? Oh, I'm good. This is Jessica. She's new to our school. Hi. What's up?
Hello, Jessica.
What brings you guys to the mall?
Oh, nothing much. Just walking around and not buying anything because we don't have any money.
Yo, us too.
And so we all get on the bus and we're just talking and shit for a good 20 minutes until my stop comes up. So I pull the thingy, but before I get off the bus, I ask Jessica,
yo, Jessica, do you Snapchat by any chance?
Yeah, I do. Let me add you. What's your Snap name?
And I remember I had some shitty ass username like, oh shit, it's MLG Pronoscope or Illuminati confirmed.
Yo, kid, get the fuck off the bus.
Sorry, one second, please. Where was I? MLG Pronoscoper Illuminati confirmed. And when I got home, I went on Snapchat, accepted a request, and we started talking. And we snapped all night to the point I was smiling, kicking my feet in the air and shit.
Yo, I'm coming in.
No, wait, don't. I'm beating my meat. Wait, shit.
Yo, what boy has you smiling like that?
Boy?
It's a girl.
Man, shut the fuck up.
Oh, shit, you're serious.
Wait, so the whole time you were watching Powerpuff Girls?
It just had a good plot.
Okay, bro. Okay, so this is what you gotta know.
And my brother started running me through the do's and don'ts of being in a talking stage.
Alright, listen. Don't text her too much, but don't text her too little. Don't talk to too many other girls.
Yep, nope. That won't be a problem right there.
Yep, I know, buddy. And you also gotta talk to her at school.
So the next day at lunch, Bob, Billy, and I walk over to Jessica and her two friends, and we start talking again, and we make plans to go to the mall together.
And boom,
all of a sudden we started forming a little friend group.
It was me, Bob, and Billy with Jessica, Kate, and Nikki.
And we started hanging out damn near every day, hitting the mall, buying nothing, going to Nikki's house, doing nothing.
But we had fun, and so inevitably, Bob and Kate start having a thing, Billy and Nikki start having a thing, and that just left me and Jessica.
And so one late night, we're on Snapchat with my feet kicking in the air faster than ever, and Jessica hits me with a,
"So, I've been thinking, well, I like you.
I like you back.
So..."
And I typed up, "Do you want to be my girlfriend?" I fucking threw my phone across the room, nervous as hell. I get the notification, and when I go to check what she said, she was like, "Yes, I do. And call me Josh Giddy, the way I just bagged this 12-year-old. But the next day at school, when me, Billy, and Bob walk up to our girlfriends, I started getting all nervous and shit. There was something about the title of being a boyfriend that just had me shitting bricks, bro. It was like,
"Hey, Chains, how are you?"
"Oh, you know, I'm good."
How are you?"
"Oh, I'm good." But now that all three of the boys had acquired girlfriends, Billy was like, "Hey, why don't we all see a movie this weekend? Like it'll be a triple date."
"Yeah, that's a great idea."
Yeah, let's do it. It's a date. Triple date. Yeah. Fuck, yeah." And by the time the weekend rolled around, I was still terrified of the fact that I was going on a date, and to be honest, I was also scared of the movie, bro. We came to watch It, which as a 12-year-old sounded like straight nightmare fuel, bro. But nonetheless, me, Bob, and Billy hop on the bus and arrive at the movie theater, fashionably late. And so when we walked through the doors, there was our three little girlfriends excited for our first dates. So we all walk up, hug, and then go to get our tickets. And I drop my entire life savings on her ticket, and then go into debt for mine, but nonetheless, we head to the theater.
"Wait, should we get popcorn?"
"Oh yeah, of course." "Hey man, how much is a large popcorn?"
"Large popcorn, that'll be $10.
Boom!
What happened? Are you okay?"
"Yeah, I just realized they ran out of popcorn."
Are you fucking stupid?"
"Yeah, no, don't worry. Thank you, man. Is it no problem? Have a good day."
And we got to our seats and sat down, and the movie began.
And as the movie progressed, I realized it wasn't even too scary, but about 20 minutes deep, I get a tap on my shoulder from Bob. And he gestures to me the fact that him and Kate are holding hands. And I look over to Billy and Nikki, and they're all cuddled up and shit. Which meant I had to make a move, bro, which inconveniently made my hands start sweating bullets. So now I was in a position where I couldn't just grab her hand while my shit was sweaty as hell, cause then she'd think I'm weird. But then I also couldn't just sit there and do nothing the whole time, cause then she'd also think I'm weird. So I just started doing the only thing I could think of, which was blowing on my hand like some hot soup, and believe it or not, made me look fucking weird. But at least my hand was dry, so I go and hold her hand, but when I do, I make a grave mistake. A tactical error, bro. When I held her hand, my hand was on top and hers was underneath against the armrest, and my dumbass was scared I was gonna crush her arm or some shit. And I don't know where I got the idea that I even could crush her arm from, bro, cause those 12-year-old stickman arms couldn't crush a fucking pretzel if they tried. But for whatever reason, I decided my best option would be to hover my arm slightly above hers so my 1-pound arm couldn't come down and fucking demolish her forearm. And you know, this was cool for about 60 seconds until I started feeling the burn, which started hurting so bad that I forgot I was even watching a movie. I was just 100% focused on thugging this shit out. And about an hour into the movie, I was just fucking shaking relentlessly. I mean, at this point, it wasn't even about not having this girl think I was weird, cause Lord knows it was too late for that shit. But now it was about proving to myself that I could finish the movie this way, and sure enough, I did. But at what cost?
Wow, you were so scared you were shaking, huh?
No, I wasn't scared at all, actually.
Oh my god, are you sweating?
No.
So, you know, looking back, it wasn't my best performance, you know what I'm saying? But with that being said, after that triple date, Billy's girlfriend Nikki ended up breaking up with him and gave up on dating dudes as a whole. So, I mean, it could always be worse, bro.
Get your money, man. Like, oh, I'm hopeful. Yes, I am hopeful. But today, take this music and use it. Let it take you away and be hopeful, hopeful. And he'll make a way. I know it ain't easy, but that's okay, cause we hopeful. Wish that you could show some love. Then instead of hating so much when you see some other people coming now. I wish I could teach the woman's fling. Why your music and have them chipping up the joy I bring.
I wish that we can hold hands. This and instead of this, some lessons from a grown man. And I wish the families that lock, but got love, get some stock, brand new chalk and a lot, but some gloves and I.
For most of my life, I've known how to swim. But by that, I mean, if my life depended on it, I could swim from one place to another. I don't even know if swim is the right word. Like, if you saw me casually enjoying a little swim at the pool, you'd be like, does he need help? Like, is he drowning? I mean, like, I did take swimming lessons, but I quit at level alligator, bro. I never even made it to level one. With that being said, this incident dates way back to when I was in grade 4. We were going on a field trip, and of course, it's to the pool. But I'm not stressing. I know I safely passed level penguin, so I should be chilling. My whole class and I walk into the entrance of the pool, but before anyone was allowed in the pool, they asked everyone if they knew how to swim. And I thought, we're in grade 4, there is no way somebody still doesn't know how to swim. And just as I presumed, nobody needed a life jacket. So me and the gang are swimming around, you know, jumping off the diving boards. Fun stuff for a grade 4 field trip. But after about an hour, my friends and I are just chilling in the deep end. And that's when I see a kid in my class named Ben on some floaty things coming in our direction. A little backstory about Ben. For as long as I can remember, this dude has been on my nuts. So when I saw this dude coming in my direction, I assumed he just wanted to say hi or something. But as he made his way towards me, I could tell he was struggling. So I swim over to help him out. Oh, hey, Ben. How are you? This kid jumps off the floaty thing onto me. And this man has the meanest grip on me. Pause. Well, this shit had to be some sort of attempted murder, bro, because he had me in a chokehold and his legs were wrapped around my arms. But they did not prepare me for this shit level alligator. So instantly I start sinking and I hit the bottom of the pool. Keep in mind, Ben is chilling on top of me with his head out of the water this whole time. So I jump off the bottom of the pool just enough to get my head out of the water for a few seconds. Ben, get off me. And when I look up, I see this dude Ben with the straightest face in the world. Like, this motherfucker has no clue I'm out here fighting for my life. And he says in the most monotone voice, I can't swim. Aw, hell nah. I'm trying to fight him off me, but keep in mind my arms are tied up. So I gather all the strength out of my skinny ass grade 4 legs. And I jump just enough to get my head out of the water again. Lifeguard, help! Oh, you guys, stop playing around in the pool. That's it. I'm fucked. I'm dead. And out of sheer anger, I decide, fuck it. If I'm dying, you're dying with me. I duck as far as I can under the water so both me and Ben can't breathe. But I'm running out of air. I start to get lightheaded. Man, that's crazy. This is really how I die, huh? And just as I had lost hope, my main man, Bob, comes in on some Superman shit, pulls Ben off me, and swims me over to the shallow end. I cough up some water, but eventually I catch my breath. So that's the story of how I almost died. And it's also the story of why I owe my life to Bob.
Your very first time buying from the plug. It's a special moment. It marks the beginning of a bond. A bond so strong and full of trust that it can only compare to that of your barber. Now, your first time copping from the plug can go many different ways, but my first time took place way back when I was 7. Okay, that's cap, but I was 13. Now, as some 13-year-olds, my homies and I were oblivious of how to get our hands on some sweet, sweet, juicy, succulent, magic broccoli. But you know what they say, if there's a will, there's a way. So we did what any 7th grader would do. We searched that shit up on Google. Where do I buy weed? And somehow, one of the first things that came up was some motherfucker on Reddit, like, just order a pizza. The pizza delivery guy stands a 78% chance of being baked. Just ask him where to find some gas. Simple as that, yeah. No bet. So we call up Little Caesars, like, hello, can I get a medium pepperoni pizza, please? Yeah. Yep. I bet. And about 45 minutes later, the doorbell rings. We open the door to see some 48-year-old man who's probably going through his second divorce. Should we ask him?
Yo, he does not know where to find that shit.
That'll be $13.69.
Here you go.
All right, have a good day.
But wait, do you happen to know where to find some of that... some of that good dope?
Good dope? Oh, I see what you're saying. If you wanted some ranch dip, just say that.
Nah. What he's trying to say here is, do you know where to find some of that good shit?
Oh, you want some good shit, huh? You sure won't find it at Little Caesars. This pizza is ass. Go to Pizza Hut or something.
Well, shit. What the fuck just happened?
Okay, the guy on Reddit said there's a 78% chance. Maybe we just got unlucky with this one.
And our dumbasses decide to order from Little Caesars again.
That'll be 13.
Okay, new plan.
Yo, I think I know a guy.
So Bob locates a local plug Snapchat. Billy adds him, and bro adds back.
So now we've located the plug, but we had no clue on how to go about hitting this man up.
Hello, Frederick Gordon Williams. I have reason to believe you are a plug, and will be able to sell us some devil's lettuce, as we are minors, currently 13 years old. Just give us your home address and we will skirt and pull up soon. Sincerely, Billy.
Instantly blocked, bro.
Looking back, we sent the most federal message possible. We hit this man with his government name and asked him for his home address.
But we had no clue that was federal. Like,
huh, that's peculiar. I wonder why he blocked us.
So we did what any 7th grader would do. We searched that shit up on Google.
How to hit up the plug. Be simple and forward. Use slang. Act cool.
And after conducting a little more research, we were ready to try again.
So I added him on my Snapchat.
Yo, Big G. Let me cop some of that gas real quick, Chrono.
Oh shit, he responded.
How much you need?
Shit, what do I say?
Search it up.
Three pre-rolls.
Let me get three pre-rolls, fam.
Alright, meet me at Stickman Park at 2:30.
So now we'd set a place and a time to cop some grass. However, what Frederick Gordon Williams didn't know was that we were a whopping 13 years old.
Keep in mind, we were still in middle school, but this dude was in grade 10.
Shit, I'm pretty sure he was 20 years old, but was still in grade 10.
Which was pretty fucking scary for us 7th graders. So we threw on some drip we believed would make us look a little bit older, and we headed off to purchase some of Satan's spinach. We arrived at the park a little bit early, and as we waited, we discussed our plan. If he asks how old we are, we're 16. If he asks our grade, we're grade 10. If he asks our pronouns, we are he/...
Bro, Chili, he's not gonna interrogate us. It's a simple business transaction.
Oh shit, there he is.
And as Frederick approached us, I could feel my blood pressure rising. Some would say I was shitting bricks.
Yo, you got the money?
How much is it?
How much you got?
Well, I brought a $50 bill.
Shit, it's usually 60, but... I guess I can do it for 50.
Thank you so much, man.
Holy shit, this is a fucking steal.
Here you go, but remember, this is OG Bubba Killer Death Paralyzing Kush 9000. It got its name for a reason.
Don't worry, we do weed all the time.
Yeah, we're super teenager and shit.
Yeah, sure, whatever, man.
Well, have a good day, sir.
And at last, 50 bones later, we had acquired some kush.
Now, this wasn't our first time smoking, but our tolerance levels were low as fuck.
So we pass around our first pre-roll, coughing up a fucking storm. And then we smoke up the next one, and the next one, until we're indubitably zooted.
God damn. Are y'all feeling it?
Shit, yeah, I'm feeling it. Well, what about you, Chains?
Shit, I think he's feeling it.
And as we made our way back to Bob's crib, my frame rates were dropping, my eyes were drying up, and my brain cells were unresponsive. In other words,
I was fucking fried. We get back to Bob's crib and all I can think about is food. The munchies had hijacked my brain, but luckily for me, Bob's mom had just went shopping. Unluckily for Bob's mom, she was gonna have to go shopping again. The boys and I threw on The Amazing World of Gumball on TV and we fucking demolished every single crumb from Bob's cabinet. Cause goddamn, Frederick Gordon Williams was right. They don't call it the OG Bubba Killer Death Paralyzing Kush 9000 for no reason. When you link a girl and you both bring a friend, man, what could possibly be better than a two-man mission?
Three-man mission.
And when you go on a three-man mission, you need to be able to trust those homies with your life, bro. Cause I don't know why, but 100% of the time you go on a three-man mission, somebody's gotta take one for the team, bro. Like, it's just inevitable. And if your homie isn't willing to eat the shit sandwich in order to see the gang succeed, the entirety of the gang is eating the shit sandwich, bro. And on top of that, you need your homies to have your back when you crack a shitty-ass joke. Cause if you're in a group of six people and not a soul laughs, nah, you're done, bruh. Like, you're cooked. You're sauteed, bruh. Like, pack it up, it's over with. Like, yo guys, what do you get when you mix human DNA with goat DNA? Oh my god, what do you get? Wait, no, let me guess. I don't know. What do you get?
Kicked out the petting zoo. Fuck, I sold.
Actually, that's a really good joke.
Facts. Wait, it was?
And lucky for me, I got the two most perfect dudes for the job. Bob and Billy, so you know we were